The Crossman Conversation brought to you today by Community Legal Services, Valencia College, Maynard Cooper, Frontier Partners, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and Crossman Career Builders.
The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. Now, before we get started, Mike, I just got a quick story for you.
All right.
You ready?
Bring it on, man.
No, this is just a quick thing I want to tell you. So, you know, I don't travel as much as I used to, right? But I used to travel a lot. I go to these different conferences. And so I go to this conference, and it's in Washington, D.C., and I'm there, and I'm actually at a diversity event. You know, I like diversity stuff.
Yes, you do.
I don't know if you've ever known that about me, I'm very pro-diversity guy. So I went to this event, and I don't even know if I was invited or whatever. But then there was this woman speaking at it, and she's this beautiful woman, and she's super fun and interesting. And then at some point, either she said or I mentioned that graduated from Bethune-Cookman University. Do you know I love Bethune-Cookman University?
I do know you love it.
I am
it.
A trustee at Bethune-Cookman
right.
University. And I meet this woman, and she's from Boston. She's from Boston. And I'm in D.C., and that woman, she's our guest today.
All right.
That's who our guest is today. Monika Bowman, Project Executive Director. Are you here with us?
I am. Thank you, John, for having me. And I'm so glad we met that day.
I know, right? And then we've had different times. We bumped each other. It's always a different city when I see you. I mean, we're in Dallas, we're in D.C., we're someplace, and we're usually there talking about real estate. And then you and I are both then trying to solve the world's problems, right?
Indeed, indeed. You know, it takes great minds because there's a lot of problems to be solved.
Well, you know, didn't we bump into each other? Think about this, Mike. We bumped into each other in the U.S. Capitol building after we had both just heard Franklin Delano Roosevelt's granddaughter speak.
Wow.
How about that?
Some names.
Right. Let me just drop a few names, right?
Yeah,
let's just throw that in there. But we were there because that was the unveiling of the Mary McLeod Bethune statue in Statuary Hall. And we were both there in support of that. That was a cool day, right?
It was an amazing day. And I have to say that, you know, sometimes we live our lives and we're just so busy. And being able to take a step back and see how you are part of this long history and narrative that has added value to the country, and know that that was rooted in the founder of the college that we both love, Bethune-Cookman University, was such a special moment. And I'm glad we had the opportunity to once again share it with each other. Our paths are just connected, John. You can't get rid of me.
That's right. Walk me through this. You're there. You're in the U.S. Capitol, right? And you are a successful Black woman, and Mayor McLeod Bethune, and of course you went to the university which she founded, is being honored, this statue. It's a huge event. And I have to think, when I think about how I would describe it for you, I immediately run out of words. I wouldn't even know how to do that. So just tell me, like, you're sitting there in that moment. How are you feeling? What are you thinking? Walk us through that.
Yeah, you know, it was really a significant moment for me. I grew up in, you know, very humble beginnings. And for me to be in a position now in my life to be able to contribute to that moment actually happening was a huge moment of pride for me, as well as knowing that I can tell my children that, you know, we invested in this statue that now lives in the U.S. Capitol, and they can go and visit it, and their children's children can go and visit it and know that they were a part of that happening because of the work, the dedication of their mom, but more importantly, the seed that the founder planted that laid the foundation for me to go to Bethune-Cookman and have the career that I have. So it was very special, and I'm really grateful for the moment.
I think it's one of those times in life, and you hit it so well. It's like, it's the combination of looking back and looking forward, right? Like, you know, I think about my dad and all the things that he did. And then I told my daughters, I'm like, I hope someday you'll take your grandchildren to the U.S. Capitol building and you'll see that statue and say, hey, great grandpa was here, you know, when this got unveiled. And that just, the looking in both directions and what that means is pretty powerful.
Indeed. Absolutely.
So I want to sort of move over to the subject of commercial real estate, which thinking about things I love to talk about, you know, Bethune-Cookman, Monica, Project REAP, other things like that. We're talking about real estate. I get so excited. So when we talk about real estate, I always tell people that real estate industry is diverse. We have both middle-aged white guys and old white guys. You know, we have both of them. That's the, we're a diverse industry. And so that's been a challenge for a long time. And in response to that, Project REAP was created. And that organization, which you're the executive director on, is doing some really cool things to help increase diversity in commercial real estate. So can you talk a little bit about what is Project REAP big picture?
Yeah, absolutely. So Project REAP was formed 24 years ago to really tackle the problem that you just very wellly stated, the issue around diversity in the industry. And what we do, we take individuals with master's degrees and bachelor's degrees, give them a deep dive into commercial real estate, and expose them to all the different diverse career opportunities that's associated with the industry, and then quickly pivot them to then be positioned to then enter the field. You know, lots of people say it's just so hard to find good, diverse talent. And so we were the answer to that, because our philosophy was the talent is there. The industry just wasn't connected to them. In addition, the individuals just didn't understand that it was a possibility for them to build a career in commercial real estate, because typically the way people enter the field is through family relationships or through their network. Really more recently, universities across the country has really been building in programs designed to really focus in on the study of commercial real estate with a pipeline for people to go into the industry. But early on, that wasn't necessarily the case. And so we are the answer to that. So we have over 1,700 alum throughout the country who have done our program. And we have some dynamic, talented people that have really climbed the ranks and are really leading in their companies, as well as formed their own. And so Project REAP is here to partner with the industry, because we have the talent. And we recognize that there are multiple places in the pipeline that you can start. But we believe that really being able to tap into talent that has the skill set, but maybe don't understand it's an opportunity, is really a very quick, fast track to be able to diversify the industry.
Well, you know, it's so awesome and fascinating about what you're doing. You know that, you know, my big passion has been working with HBCUs and endowment scholarship, promoting at the collegiate level, which I think you'd agree that's a good thing. The challenge is that I'm kind of planting seeds that will blossom, you know, in the years ahead. What you're doing is you're answering the immediate issue, right? So like if somebody said, hey, I'm going to be making hires in 2023. Oh, and by the way, I really don't need a 22-year-old. I need somebody that has, you know, 10 years of, you know, real life experience, maybe then in banking or some other area, or mortgage brokerage or something like that. And then you're transitioning into this career that they can immediately impact in. Did I get that right?
Yeah, indeed. And I think some of the challenges when we have these conversations around accessing talent, because at the end of the day, that's what we do. And we just so happen to be engaging dynamic talent of color. But a lot of times we tend to say, oh, you know, we have to start at the beginning of the pipeline, which is fine, you know, and I think there's a place for that, because we need to cover all grounds. But sometimes I think that that focus is at the expense of people that are actually ready to enter the field. Mm-hmm. And that's where we come in. So I'm really excited about the work that Project REAP has done over its 24-year history. And we want to continue to really be able to position our alum to be able to enter the field and continue to thrive.
So we're going to take a break in just a minute. But when we think about somebody who would be a potential candidate for Project REAP, Tell me just real quick description of what that would look like. Who is hearing this to think, oh, I should sign up for that? What does that look like?
Yeah, so anyone who identify as a individual of color that has a bachelor's degree or a master's degree and really has this drive to be able to pivot into a field. You know, a lot of times whenever we do this work, you know, we recognize that we are giving exposure to individuals, but we also need people that recognizes that in addition to that exposure and being a part of our network, they will have access in a way that they didn't before. But on top of that, there's a level of intentionality and focus that needs to be present in order to really set that person up to succeed. We're here to help them, but really that person is the driver of where they go. We are here to then cultivate their leadership and make sure that they're seen in the industry. So we really need a person that's really just driven and ready to roll up their sleeves and get to work and leverage the skill sets they have to be able to enter a new field.
Gotcha. And did you say, like, with that, they would also be to tap into the alumni group as well, correct?
Correct. Yes. We have 1,700 alum across the country, all doing amazing things. We have, you know, alum that work for Nike, Nuveen, Walgreens. We have Clarendon Partners. So I can go down and name the list of all of these really high profile companies. But once you're a part of our program, you now have access to a network of alum that's doing really remarkable things that are also committed to helping that individual grow their career.
That's very cool. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to hear about this research project I've been hearing that you're working on. I want to hear about that and also let people know how they can best get connected with you and Project REAP. So this is the Crossman Conversation, and we're going to take a quick break.
Community Legal Services is a civil legal aid organization providing no-cost legal help to the underserved. They call it Legal Aid for All. Their attorneys assist with legal issues related to family law, housing, domestic violence, veterans benefits, and much more. Community Legal Services is a community-supported program. To learn more and help support the mission, visit clsmf.org. That's clsmf.org. Community Legal Services, Legal Aid for All.
One of our many sponsors happens to be Valencia College and the Valencia College Foundation, and I'm so proud to have them on the team because of all the universities and colleges I've worked with. I don't know that I've seen one of them with a better secret sauce for helping students excel in life than Valencia College right here in Central Florida. Crossman Krupelers actually has an endowed scholarship. That's how much I put my money in with those guys. And so we're just so proud to have them as part of the Crossman Conversation. Huge thanks to Valencia College.
Are you willing to serve communities in crisis around the world? To people who are impoverished, oppressed, and persecuted? Frontier Partners International offers mission opportunities in areas least served to meet the needs of the helpless, the hapless, and hopeless. To learn how you can be a partner of this frontline ministry with your time, talent, or treasure, visit frontier-partners.org. That's frontier-partners.org.
I'd like to thank Maynard Cooper & Gale, PC, for being a sponsor of our program. Maynard is a full-service law firm with over 350 attorneys and 14 offices nationally who serve with professional excellence in everything from corporate and business matters to day-to-day legal issues. The office in Central Florida focuses its practice in real estate, corporate transactions and organization, banking and finance, along with trust and estates. To learn more, visit MaynardCooper.com.
Suicide is something that affects all of us, and we can play a part in saving lives. Make a difference in your community by walking out of the darkness with us on Saturday, February 4th in Baldwin Park in Orlando. Help spread awareness and understanding, send the message that help is available, and raise funds for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Find the Orlando Walk at afsp.org/Orlando.
Here's a call to those who want to make an impact on their company, their community, or who possess a desire to make the world a better place. Crossman Career Builders provides the tools and resources for you or your company to make a difference on some of the toughest issues that we all face. Crossman Career Builders partners with CEOs, politicians, and pastors seeking to address problems of racism, mental health, addiction, justice, and suicide. CrossmanCB.com.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
Okay, we're back with my buddy Monika Bowman. How are you doing? And thanks again for being on the show.
I am well, and it's just such a pleasure to be here, John.
And you have a beautiful family, I might add. You know, we're friends on social media, so I see those beautiful pictures. So you are blessed in many ways, my friend. I want to talk to you about a little bit more about Project REAP, and I want to go a little deeper and talk about this research project that you've got going on. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, indeed. So as I said earlier, we are a 24-year-old organization, and next year we have a milestone celebration, our 25th anniversary. And so in honor of our 25th anniversary, we want to leverage the opportunity to have a conversation with the field on what does it mean to invest in a program that's designed to specifically diversify the industry. And the way we are doing that is through an impact research project. We are surveying our alum. We are doing qualitative and quantitative research. And our goal is really to understand what is the impact through learning, behavior, and more importantly, results when an alum come do our program and then enter the field, as well as for our sponsors, right? Very rarely do we have the opportunity to assess 24 years of commitment. I know that after the incidents of George Floyd, 2020, when we were all stuck in our houses and saw this really significant thing happen that tapped into our minds and our conscience, it spurred the industry to think about this in a thoughtful way. And we are very grateful for that. And we recognize that before that moment, you know, we've been here doing the work, right? And so we want to have a conversation with the industry around what does long-term investment in diversity, equity, and inclusion look like? And what is the impact of it when it comes to the trajectory of someone's career path? And because we've been doing this for 25 years, we are uniquely positioned to have that conversation with the industry. And I really think it's important, particularly as we enter into a time where people are talking about recession and people are pulling back their budgets, you know, the value of figuring out a way to still invest in these types of initiatives, because it's really important for the growth of the industry when it comes to diversifying it.
So that is all really great and powerful. And it makes me think about a bunch of things. And real quick, just to touch on them, my questions for you is, one is, you know, I say this a lot, that we seem to live in a culture that thinks I tweet, therefore I am. Like somehow if I have the perfect tweet, that's somehow currency. But sometimes with that and with companies creating DEI committees, but they're kind of like, you know, toothless tigers, they really are not doing anything. How do you then transition that into real work? And when I think about real work, in my mind, it's one aspect of like internal, like within the company, like what are we doing? How are we training? How are we treating people from, you know, marginalized groups? And how are we then shifting our practice of hiring, things like that? And then shifting to outside the company, like what are we doing? And that may be like involving at an HBCU or something like that. And so it feels like as a company, if they're sincere and they're really trying to get work into the space, that you're really an arrow in their quiver. They can get with you and they can talk about things that are immediate in the impact of hiring, but also ways of, well, I'm trying to say this, both internally and externally impacting these issues. Is that correct?
It is indeed, because whenever you invest in Project REAP, you're investing in the program and the infrastructure that then positions dynamic talent of color to be able to then enter the field. And so it is a short-term as well as an immediate investment that then has the ability to have a longer term impact. So I feel like you get the best of both worlds when you're investing in Project REAP and programs like Project REAP, because you have the ability to access our talent. We have a job board and we push out opportunities to our 1,700 alum weekly to make sure that we stay true to what our mission is, because our mission is not to have education for the sake of education. It needs to lead to opportunities that then opens up diverse pathways for our alum, but more importantly, the sponsors and the industry as a whole.
Well, and you've done a great job with like the biggest names and trade associations, whether it's ULI or ICSC. I mean, you've partnered with all those big name groups. I mean, you've been all these different conferences. You're really wired in, you know, so it's not like, it's not like somebody would get connected with you or Project REAP and then you guys don't know who the players are. You guys are in partnership with the biggest players that exist.
Yeah, we are. And you know, really, when I think of ICSC, I just want to give them a huge shout out. They really incubated Project REAP for many years. And if it wasn't for that investment from that particular trade association, we really wouldn't be where we are now. And so it really goes to show the value of trade associations and them being a leader in pushing the industry to think about these things. And ICSC particularly has been very dedicated to understanding the importance and pushing its membership to really think about diversity, equity, and inclusion in a way that opens up opportunities to have people of color in powerful positions within their companies. So I'm really grateful for them, for their leadership, you know, for years now.
I am as well. And so it certainly sounds like they've been a real big part of a win-win. So if somebody's listening to this and they're like their real estate company and they're like, gosh, we are hiring, want to make sure that we're doing more diverse hiring, they need to call you and get involved with that. If somebody is a person of color and they're maybe been in their career business a little while, they're always thinking about getting into commercial real estate, they need to call you. Is there anything else I'm missing as far as like, maybe it's just a successful real estate company that, you know, they're hiring, but they just want to make sure that there's more resource in the industry. They could contact you and sponsor, correct?
Absolutely. And so we can fill all of those needs if people go to our website, www.projectreap.org, and our staff information is listed there. Our sponsorship levels are listed there. If you are someone that's looking to join the network, we have all the information around the requirements as well as when our next program application dates are coming up. So please visit our website, and we are open to partnering with the industry. So I do hope that those listening to this will see value in this conversation. Visit our website and reach out to me. I'm more than happy to have a conversation with you.
That's awesome. So you really, guys, you really are a resource for helping companies achieve their goals and growing, which is really cool. And, you know, I always say, like, people say they love something until you ask them to write a check. Then it turns out they like it, right? they like that their favorite sports team. They don't love it. You know, you love stuff you sacrifice for. And so if we really want to make an impact beyond just, you know, crafting a perfect tweet, we need to make something a sacrificial gift and invest and do things. And, you know, one of the things about you're saying, like, with a 25-year history, there's a platform that's proven success, and that's pretty cool. So
yeah, I'm really glad you said that, because, you know, with nonprofits that focus on this, it's particularly hard, particularly as we think about going into, you know, our next year, and, you know, people are tightening their budgets. And I would just hope that people see value in this work and see the value of what we are doing to support the industry and consider still investing, even though we're going into really questionable times in the marketplace right now.
For sure. For sure. It's all going to be okay. So one last quick question. It's a thoughtful one and you got to answer it fast. So I'm sorry. Sorry about that, but you can do this. I want you to visualize something with me. Okay. You ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
I want to visualize that you and me are sitting side by side because we're buddies. And we're looking out in this room, and this room has got like 60 white male CEOs, and they're good guys. They're good guys, okay? They're not bad guys. They're good guys. And they're like, they're leaning forward, and they're like, hey, Monica, I really want to help. What would you tell them? If it was a safe place, safe room, safe conversation, you're a black woman in commercial real estate, you would say what to these white CEO men that you think they really need to hear? What would that message be?
That's a really good question. Okay. I have to be quick on my toes with this one. You know, I did this program, as you know, I have a joint master's degree in urban policy and divinity. And so when I was in divinity school, I did this program that was international travel. And underneath it, it was faith oriented, but the woman was really committed to building across racial lines. I went to graduate school in Atlanta. And one of the most powerful things I took away from that experience, we were, you know, shipped to Europe and the Middle East, and we were with people from different religious backgrounds that then translated to racial backgrounds. And we were all similar in the fact that we had bachelor's degrees and master's degrees and similar in our areas of studies and focus. And the one thing that struck me was being able to build relationships with your peers is really important. Mm. And sometimes what happens when it comes to these types of relationships it comes from a place of charity, which there is nothing wrong with charity. We need charity. But sometimes it creates an imbalance as it relates to how one group of people views another group of people. So being able to do both, I believe in both and approaches, being able to build with someone that is your peer that looks different, I think is really the key to being able to expand yourself, open up your mind to the differences in the world, and just make you a different person, right? A better person is what I have done as a woman of color. And I think that is a value proposition for anyone that is in any type of leadership role or in a place of authority.
Well, I would say all of that I would agree with, and I think it's very helpful, insightful. And I would add that you have been a blessing to me, and that, you know, our relationship has helped me, and that, you know, you, you speak truth to me. And sometimes you and I have had hard conversations about some hard stuff, and yet it's been done with kindness, and that has helped me. It's helped me be a better man and a better leader. And I thank you. So, Monica, you are wonderful. You're a blessing. Project Reap is doing great stuff. I hope you'll stay in close touch, and thank you for being on the Crossman Conversation.
It was a joy, and I hope you invite me back one day.
Oh my gosh, open invitation, my friend, open invitation. Well, thank you so much. This has been the Crossman Conversation, and as always, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.